This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father God, we just thank you this morning for the ability to raise our voices, Lord. I just have a sense this morning, you know, we all prepare for sermons and things, but my heart personally is that when you leave here this morning, that you would leave thankful. And thankful means that irregardless of your situation, you can say, bye, donkey. Thanks, God. I'm thankful, Lord, that my joy and my happiness is not connected to situations. And I feel this morning, I just want to almost make it practical. If you've got the ability, there's 10,000 things in your head and your emotions, but God says that He's the anchor to your soul. That means the world is shaking your boat and things are going back and forth, and there's this anchor that's thrown out, which means your boat is going to be still. So I want to invite Jesus almost into your boat this morning to come and tell you, I'm your anchor. Be still, my soul, and know that I am God. And I just want to invite you this morning, above your emotions, because many times when you feel down, the last thing you want to do is jump up or say, I'm thankful, or say, yes, Lord, thank you, thank you. But this is where the real spiritual life comes, when we can say, we cry out from a deeper place, which is above our emotions, because we are not only soul and body, we are soul, body, and spirit. And the correct order is for your spirit to tell your soul and body what to do. Because when you fast, your body shouts at you, give me food, give me food. When you are sad, your emotions tell you, do these things, do these things. If you are led by the Spirit, your spirit says, be still and know that I'm God. You can be quiet. So I want to invite you this morning with me to start saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just start saying thank you to God in your own words now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jera. That was going for open DVS, Jera. Thank you, Jera. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you welcome us this morning. Thank you that we could just know that you welcome us. As I can just experience your presence just resting on us this morning, Lord. Thank you for hearts of thankfulness as we leave. Thank you that we will go out, Father God, and know that we can be thankful, Lord. Sure, hallelujah. Yo, I'm going to try and keep it short because these are, for me personally, some of those moments where I want to say amen and just go home. When you can just experience the peace of God, and I think that's why we're here, right? Just to jointly, as a group of people, say, God, you know, we really need you. And if we're really honest with one another, you know, it's not like we always win at this thing called life. And it's such an awesome thing for me to be able to be, you know, in a group of people and be honest to say, you know what, we're vulnerable, but we also serve a God that can do the impossible, as you looked at that testimony even this morning. So welcome this morning. My name is Paul Buerta, and I guess it's part two of a three-week series. Some of you were here last week, some of you weren't, so I'll just do a little bit of a recap for what we're busy with. So we've been talking about the motivational gifts or the gifts of the Father in the Bible. Now, if you haven't heard of that before, that's fine. That's why we're here this morning. Now, some of you have always, you've heard about the spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's in Corinthians 12. This, what we're talking about this morning, is specifically the gifts of the Father, or as it's referred to, the motivational gifts, which is found in Romans 12. But before I jump in there, let's just get a little bit of a background. If you look at a scripture in, well, you can go to that nice, what do you call that illustration that gives us an idea? So right at the top, we've got Romans 12, what we will be talking about. That talks about the gifts of the Father, or the motivational gifts. On the left, you've got Ephesians 4:11, which I'll be reading just now, which talks about the fivefold ministry. And Then you see that last wheel turning, which talks about the fullness of Christ. Now that's taken out of the scripture. So what effectively we'll be sharing about this morning is how that scripture or the gifts of the Father, the motivational gifts, you can obviously see that they are working in tandem with this other scripture, the fivefold, which is representing leadership in church, to do one thing, to get you to a place of fullness in Christ. So if you wonder, why are we talking? There's your summary this morning if you wanted to know. So let's go to that first scripture in Ephesians 4:11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. So let's just stop here. You've also, some of you are on a parenting season. When we talk about fivefold, it means something very different. That's a joke. Nobody, Mike caught it. Thanks. So when we talk about the fivefold, it refers to five individual people. Not a man, not a woman specifically. It's five groups of people. A prophet, an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. So just help me out here. The fivefold ministry is leadership in church. Does that mean that person is employed by church and is paid a salary? Yes? No? A lot of people think it's no. Okay. So, can I ask then? Some of you, let's start with the easy ones. A teacher is somebody that likes to stand up here and talk all day. Or like to read the Bible a lot and, you know, just teach and how the things come together. And who likes that? Who, if I say, you know, that's close to who you are. A few of you. All right. We'll get to the rest of you. So there's another one called a pastor. A pastor is just somebody that really cares about people. When you hear somebody's house is burned down, you're the first person to climb in a car and go and buy a duvet or some millimeal or something just to support them. If you hear somebody is really in a bad situation, you're the first person that prays, that SMSs, arranges food. Who has got a natural tendency to do things like that? More prone to do things like that. All right, some of you. Then you've got an evangelist. This is the person that cannot stop talking about Jesus. He just wants to make sure that everybody in the world knows about Jesus. Now, are we all here to talk about Jesus? Yes. But you have these people that, you know, they just do it a lot more naturally, it seems. Then you've got the prophet. It's a more black and white type of person. There's no gray areas. This is how it is, and this is what the Lord says. You know, a lot of people are more geared like that. And then you've got the apostle, like my namesake, Paul in the Bible, a person that really was out there planting the church, advancing the church. Now, I was describing five different groups here. What I said to you initially was, this doesn't mean it's a person employed by church, which means people sitting in this group this morning can actually fulfill the role of the fivefold. Do you agree? You understand that? Do we not so many times box it to a person that is employed by the church? Can I give you maybe a shock? JP is not a pastor, evangelist, an apostle, a teacher. Which one did I forget? And a prophet. He's got some of those things, but I can tell you he doesn't fulfill all five of those roles. And you know what? So many times in church culture, we expect the pastor to be all five things because that's the fivefold, you know. And it's not. And why am I hammering on this morning? It's because if we as a body of Christ start understanding this, we will realize how God made us, how he put us together, and why we need one another so much. And why Zoom and Skype and all these things is not really the answer. It was a solution for a time. But sitting here, me making you frustrated because I say some things, some people talking too loud, some people talk too soft, you know, that friction, it's so good for you. I'm here to tell you it this morning. And you're going to say, yeah, but yeah, I'll rather stay away. You can, but I'm here to tell you one simple message this morning. You need the person sitting right next to you with all their mistakes. Because that's God's way of getting you to a fullness in Christ. One person that can say amen. That's a tough one. We need to stand still on this point. Because we say easily, but hey, my friend, when it comes to the practical implications, it's tough. Because we don't always agree with that. You like the people that support the same team. You like the people that drink the same things that you drink, that eat the same food. You know, when you bribe, somebody mustn't come there, you know, and you've got all your steaks and things, and no, you want to bribe chicken. You know, it takes 2 hours, you know, I want to put on my steak, it's warm 2 minutes and eat it, and Why have to wait 2 hours for your chicken? You know, it's uncomfortable. You know, just keep your chicken and I've got my little box. You know, it's, we tend towards what's comfortable. Can we be honest with one another there? But there's a method that God has brought in by our unique differences and how he uses it to bring us to that fullness of Christ. Let's go to the next slide. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. So before I get to the gifts of the Father or the motivational gifts, I want to really give you a little bit of a background. So a lot of times in Scripture, the word reads as follows. Therefore, brethren, when the word of God says therefore, you must know that you must back up a little bit because he said a lot of things and then the word of God goes, therefore, I encourage you. Meaning, I just gave you a lot of information and therefore I want you to do the following. Now, before we get to the gifts of the Father, I want to stand still here and say, but before we get to the gifts, why have they been given? Now, let's read Romans 12 together. I hope I'm reading out of the same version. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In short, what I really take out here is, even as JP was sharing in his offering this morning as Abram, we're living sacrifices for God. And he says, I really urge you, understand that you are a sacrifice to God. And don't be transformed to this world. We are transformed. That means a cut above other people. Are we looking down on them? No. It just means we think totally differently. He says, I want you to transform your mind. And the result of that will be, you will know what the will of God is. Then he says, for I say to you, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Just means be humble. You're not that fantastic, okay? You're not the best thing ever. Be humble. Does God say you are perfect? You are the apple of his eye? Absolutely. But when you come here and you present yourself to people, don't think you are the biggest gift and you are the best thing ever. Just humbly assert yourself. Yes, you have got gifts, but be humble with that and understand what your position is in this body. For as we have many members in one body, but all of the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one in the body of Christ and individually members of one another. And I'm going to almost stand still. And it's, so we've got this portion of saying that, you know, you're all sitting here have got a role to play. And we've many times taught this and we've taught this in church, but I really want to hit it home this morning. When we talk about these gifts, it's not somebody paid by the church and employed by the church. And these gifts are not only limited to leadership in church, because the fivefold is leadership. So those are unique positions in church. But when it comes to the gifts of the Father, I'm simply talking about the members of the body of Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. You don't have a title. You don't have a salary here. It is somebody sitting in a chair this morning. And if you are not fulfilling your role as a member of this church, then probably somebody else is not getting in that process as you see those wheels turning. And if you're not fulfilling your role, then that wheel doesn't really turn. And we all, as the word says in Ephesians, cannot come to that fullness of Christ. So tell somebody next to them, I need you to do what you need to do. It says the following then in Romans 12, 6. Having these gifts differ according to the grace of God given to us. What then? Let us use them. There's the summary of why we have these gifts. You need to use them. If you don't use them, they will not have the desired effect. Now, some of you, have you heard of a guy called Eric Little from the United Kingdom? Am I correct? That's the, yeah, Ronaldo's a sports fan as I am. So, I Googled it again quickly this morning. He, according to me, was very famous because he ran in the British, for Britain in the Olympics. And then they scheduled his one event on a Sunday morning. And he took the bold step to say, I will not run on a Sunday morning. So obviously, clearly everybody was like, oh my goodness, you know, you are set up to win this race. You're going to have an Olympic gold and you're not going to race on a Sunday because you're a Christian. And his sister was even pleading with him and saying, brother, you're going to win an Olympic gold. And he said, you know what? God has a purpose for my life, but he also made me fast. Now think about that statement. Take this to where we are in our modern era. I was looking at the documentary on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Now, without any doubt, he is the greatest basketball player ever. And he said it to everybody on every game. And people thought he was pretty arrogant about it. But then he proved them wrong, and he proved them wrong, proved them wrong. And people started pushing him, yeah, but you need to also, you know, because he was more famous than the president. People started pushing him to be into politics. You know, you need to support and you need to stand up and start saying that you support this guy. Or you need to be an activist for this thing, and you need to be this thing. And he was like, I'm the best basketball player in the world. Let me be the best basketball player in the world. Don't tell me what I need to do, because I'm just good at basketball. Now, why am I telling this story? So many times, you know, we've got these two extremes. There was this one gentleman who was very gifted, but he said, you know what, God's got a purpose for my life. And yes, he also made me fast, so I can run pretty well. And maybe that gives me a platform, and maybe I'll win some medals, maybe I don't. But that's not the point of my life. There's something so much bigger. And when we start focusing on the fact, because if you're as good as Michael Jordan, there must be this enormous calling on your life. Don't we do that? Don't we focus and just think, but if that guy gets saved, if Michael Jordan gets up on a stage, he will influence millions. I think we place such an unhealthy pressure on people because we attach so much to a talent. My opinion. I'm not talking about scripture this morning. I'm just saying, I think we've got, why we miss these gifts so much is because we hang on to talents and these amazing things that people can do. I just feel God has made them fast. God has made them talented. Great, but he's got a purpose for their life. And let's not limit it to simply having a talent. And if you understand that, then you can understand this morning that you are unique and that God has placed something in your life. And that these gifts that I'm talking about, when God says to you, use them, I'm also asking you this morning, use them. Because it has a significance and it will make a massive impact. And will you be on the TV and as famous as Michael Jordan? Probably not. But in God's kingdom, I implore you this morning, start understanding what these gifts are and how much they contribute. Because if we get that, then it can make a big difference. Let's quickly read what these gifts are. Having the gifts that differ, it says then, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. Who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there's a summary of the gifts. I think JP on the next slide, it just gives a little bit of a shorter summary. It's prophecy, it's ministering or serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, organizational leadership, and mercy. So obviously this is a course that takes about 6 hours to do if we're going to go through the whole thing and go through each item. JP did 3 of them last week. I'm just focusing on 2 of them this morning. There were some books handed out. So I really encourage you, go and take these things and go and apply them in your life. Because I was reading them yesterday and I just started marking a few things, you know, what I see in my life. Now the nice thing about this is you start seeing who you are. But then also this book, what it does is, you know, I haven't got a lot of fat here. So, you know, if you point something sharp, yeah, I really feel it quickly. But then they also show you what the weak parts are about having the certain gifts. And who can, yes, and one of my friends, he's got a gift of doing this to me, you know, just poking it where it really hurts. Because he's very strong. If you would box him, you would say he's a real prophet. That's not who I am. That's not who my DNA, my natural tendency. But he's very strong in this gift. I'm more a teacher or a comforter mercy. So that's more where I find myself naturally. But you know what? This prophet is probably one of my 3 or 4 best friends. And you know why? It's because he grinds me. He shapes me. And in the areas that I'm unbelievably weak, he helps me. Is it comfortable? I laughed. I told JP this morning, they talk about the motivational gifts. But when you find somebody that's a totally different, you know, disc personality, or somebody that is a prophet and you are mercy, man, I'm telling you, there's going to be sparks flying. It's not always that easy, and it doesn't always feel like a motivational gift. But when you start coming into that place of realizing how much you need that person next to you, you'll start seeing the beauty of what God is in their life. And you won't try to change them, but you will rather embrace. I mean, and I've so many times said it, that whole balcony, what is that in English? The big tree in somebody in your eye, the log. What does it talk about? The log. Afrikaans is so mooi, die balk in iemand anders is oog. I won't talk Afrikaans, auntie. So, you obviously look at the splinter at somebody else's eye. Splinter is this little thing. It's very sharp and it's dangerous. And somebody told me, do you know why you spot that splinter so easily in their eye? Because that splinter comes from the piece of wood that's sitting in your eye. I was like, yo, never thought about it that way. And it's that uncomfortable thing, you know, it's these splinters that we see in each other's lives. When we start saying, you know what, let me just, if I stop focusing on their splinter, I can actually go like this and I can just take it out and I can embrace this person. And maybe they can assist me with this tree in my eye. You're redefining the Bible terms, sorry. We'll get it afterwards. So let's start with the first gift this morning. Here's just an example again. Ruler, exhorter, prophet, teacher, servant, mercy. But very importantly, when we read through these things and you say, I am zero a teacher, that does not mean the Holy Spirit cannot usher you to say, this is something I want you to grow in. So don't also box yourself and feel, I'm entitled to do certain things. Look at these things and say, where am I? Let's go to the teacher, JP. John Maxwell said the following, gift of teaching, to explain truth so that others can understand and apply it. So here are some of the traits of a teacher. And there were some handouts. As you see, there's that big card that you can look at. You don't have to go and mark all of it. You can go in your quiet time this week and just go read through those things, make your list, and then you can cross-reference. But this is if you choose the following, then you would become probably a teacher. Show me that in the Bible. A teacher loves that. Don't tell him, you know, I feel God, you know, and this thing, and the angel, and fire, and he says, but where is that in the Bible? You know, just give me a scripture, then we can have a discussion. That's a teacher. Likes facts, very detailed, good with words, likes context, likes to explain principles, enjoys researching, likes correct doctrine, logical, and likes routine. So this is a very good summary of what a teacher actually is and what he represents. Let's go to the next slide, JP. Now, here are what we call behavioral characteristics of a teacher. If the previous things that I said are things that you find in yourself or you see in other people, this is probably a good indication of how they will react. Doesn't reject or receive new truth immediately, they test them before they do. Accuracy is absolutely vital. The original Greek Hebrew have more confidence in the word of God than in the experience of men. Willing to die for convictions. Safe person emotionally. Fairness, likes to treat other people the same. Counseling out of the Bible. Just, let's stop here quickly. Who of you associate slightly with this? As I said, these are not leaders in church or anything. There's just characteristic traits. Okay, so one or two of you. Who of you know people that are like this? Some of you. Okay, so at least I think this whole exercise is helping you because you're like, yeah, I know one of those people. Flip it, they are so irritating. Is that not what's happening, eh? It's a bit of like, oh, I know that guy, you know? He's the guy standing in front this morning, you know? He likes to teach. He talks too much, you know? He's irritatingly to the point about detail, you know? We need one another. This is what this exercise is about. It's to look at these beautiful gifts that God has given to certain people and say, how can we redeem? How can God use that gift to shape me? How can God use that to change me? Because the reality is, if that person's gift is defined, then it's something beautiful. And that friend of mine, the prophet, that always grinds me, it feels, you know, I came to a big realization one day. Because he's a lot more, as we would say, liberal. Because I'm to the fact, and if the Bible says, obey the governing authorities. Man, then you do it. You don't ask questions, anything. And he started challenging me in this lockdown time, you know, so are you going to wear a mask? I was like, well, the government says I must wear a mask. It's a no-brainer, okay? And you're going to wash your hands each time you go into a building. Yes, I'm going to wash my hands in a building, okay? Okay, and what if the government says you and your wife must be separated for 2 years? No, but they'll never say that. No, but why not? They said you must wear a mask, you wore a mask. You're not allowed to go out of your house, you stayed in your house. You're not allowed to come into a shop without washing your hands. The government started telling us to do these things and we all started following. Now, I'm not here to go into that debate this morning. But he started, you know, poking where it hurts a bit because I was like, yes, well, I haven't thought about that. And if the government asks me and my wife, you know, because of Corona, we're not allowed to see one another and I'm not allowed to see my children because of some scientist from World Health Organization says this or that, yeah, it would challenge me. You know, and I was like, yeah, but the scripture says, ooh. And now you're in that conundrum. And now you're like, it's uncomfortable because what do you do with that? That's what I feel God is saying. Okay, do you feel that? Bring that to me and let's talk about it. And I'm not here to give an answer. I don't want to go into that debate this morning. But do you get what this gift does to us? And sometimes, and I never realized it, because this friend of mine always challenges the boundaries. And I became so angry with him because I was like, sometimes just take no for an answer. Stop challenging the system, you know? And when God showed me something, he said, Paul, he's challenging and he's talking to you because you are his shield. He's bouncing off you. Because he knows your gift as a teacher. He knows you are going to give him the box answer. And that's why he's talking to you, Paul. So stop fighting with him. Just embrace because he needs that and because he knows what kind of answer he's going to get from you. And I was like, and I started relaxing and I stopped trying to change him and I stopped trying to fight with him. I said, you know what? I'm a gift to you and you're a gift to me. Is it uncomfortable? Hey, man, very much. But I praise God for it. Amen. Somebody's going to say amen by the end of this service and agree with me. Okay, let's go to the next characteristics. I think there's one more. They enjoy reflecting on the past to do things right next time. Avoids conflict as far as possible. Yes, I think most of us, I'll get probably 90% of the hands here in church. Who loves conflict? Let me ask this. Who runs in like a rhinoceros and says, let's talk about this? It's my wife, anyway. We've got that's why it works, because I was like, I don't want to talk about it, and she's like, we're talking about it now. I'm like, oh, okay. Avoids conflict as far as possible. Struggles to close the deal. Do not always have action points or plan. Can be critical and judgmental. The key is balance between the word of God says and how to live it out practically. Good listeners. Now, here comes that poking part. It's a fantastic gift, but if you have not allowed God to work with you, then this gift becomes a massive burden. Let's look at some immature characteristics of a teacher. They procrastinate. Always tomorrow, always the next day, they philosophize and they talk and just get the job done. That's what the prophet wants to see. Get it done. Makes new decisions slowly, safely, and they frustrate a visionary. You can imagine if you're that guy at the company. You've got the leader that says, we're going to be the biggest, the best, and we're going there tomorrow. And the guy's like, yeah, but I just want to know, do we have coffee? And the visionary is like, ach, rarig, asseblief. Just get on the bandwagon, let's go. Man, but they need one another, because halfway, that prophet is going to burn out, and he's going to need that coffee. We're going to need one another for this. Find it difficult to return phone calls. Values reasons over revelation. Accepts only what been documented. Traditions, old wine, as they would say. Becoming proud of their knowledge. Despising practical wisdom of uneducated people. Yes, that's a tough one, huh? Communicates skepticism towards their teachers. Obviously, these are very negative things, and that you might even see in yourselves. Let's go on to the list. Criticizing sound teaching because of technical flaws. Depending on human reasoning rather than Holy Spirit teaching. Poor future planning and preparing for growth. Unbalanced ministry perspectives. Values knowledge of God and religious services over the relationship with God. Giving information which lacks practical application. boring listeners with detail of research. All right, so those are all those tough ones. We need to look at them, because obviously if that is who you are, or if that's the other person that you, obviously most of you said, you know, I know one of these people, this is where you as a prophet can actually assist that person to come out of these bad habits. Examples in scripture is Moses, Stephen, and Luke. Now let's go to the next one, the giver. Now I know before Tu puts up his hand, I know there's a few people specifically in church that really have a passion for this type of gifting, and it's beautiful. Let's look at it. To give generously, share what God has given. The gift of giving. The traits of the giver is they don't like to waste. I think that's a trait for us in Namibians. Me and my wife, you know, had some fights at the beginning just because when she left the tap open, I was like, you come from Mpumalanga. That's where they invented water. You know, here in Namibia, you close the tap very quickly, you know. I don't know if you guys are like that. It frustrates me when people leave a tap open. Stewardship focused, generous, entrepreneurial, frugal, prudently saving or sparing, likes to see investments grow, empower by resources, likes to budget, likes financial transparency, and gives anonymously. Most difficult to profile, generational worldview, prepare the way for their family after them, deeply committed to the family, have a heart for evangelism, but do not generally want to pick the fruit. Don't get manipulated easily. Money and favor come to them. Like to give in order to empower. Now, these are all the behavioral characteristics. Here's the last few. Stewardship is very important. Can sustain tense relationships without bringing them to closure. They have a capacity to read the fine prints in deals and find opportunities other people might miss. They have the need that others also and like to give their best. So these are all the characteristics. And the positive things, if I may say, and the natural things that if you are a giver, this is where you would box yourself or find yourself. Let me not use the word box. It sounds very negative. That's just more the characteristics of a giver. Now, obviously, you can understand that a person like a giver will always be on the lookout, will always be ensured that everybody in church has got enough, is sufficiently supplied with whatever they need. And obviously, why do you need this person? Because the prophet specifically is looking at the horizon. He is just looking at what needs to happen and where do we need to go. And as I said, halfway through, somebody's going to have to make sure that everybody's got coffee. That's probably who the giver is. And what a gift in that sense. You know, what an amazing thing that he can contribute to the church. He will ensure that somebody, if there's somebody in a bad situation, if something's happened, there's been a death in the family, there's been something that's wrong, they will make sure that that person is looked after for the next week. Understand why this is such an amazing gift and why I want to say we need these type of people in church. Now here are some of the negative characteristics that follow, or immature. Suspicious, fearful of what might happen, builds protective structures based on fear. Doesn't accept God's absolutes, wants to keep their options open. Doesn't learn from the past, makes same mistakes repeatedly. They can misuse their own gift by giving too sparingly to their own family. Listen to unscriptural counsel on money management. Investing in projects which do not benefit the life of the church. Too frugal or sparing with family members or generous with an intent to control. Overly cautious, decisions based on fear rather than faith. Given a time of abundance, put pressure on people who have less to give. Fail to discern God's prompting to give. Judge those who misuse funds rather than advising them. Control people or ministry by gifts. Corrupt people by giving too much. Examples in the scripture is Abraham and then Job. A giveaway of a giver, they're usually a good screamers. That's the other side. So in summary this morning, we've dealt with two of the gifts. You've seen the five other. We've already dealt now with five. I really want to go encourage you this week, take this pamphlet, go and take some time, pray about it, and then just don't jump to the first conclusion. Take some time, close the door, read through these different, you'll see all those words on that one page. And just see what characteristics do jump up for you. Write them down, and then you can see, you know, I'm pretty strong as a prophet, or I'm pretty strong as a comforter, or as a teacher, an exhorter, and then you see, okay, these are all the characteristics and what I can actually bring to the church. And then you also see, and these are the downfalls. Because as I said, all of us really need one another. And when we leave here this morning, that's the essence of the teaching. And the practical thing is, if you are not fulfilling your role as a giver, as a comforter, as an exhorter, the person next to you is missing out. And you don't need to be paid a salary by this church, and you don't need to be in leadership to walk in the gifts. And that's so important. And that's why I feel we've idolized so many wrong things. We've idolized the gift. But as that gentleman just said, God has got a purpose for my life. And you know what? So what? He made me fast as well. It's a by story. It's just something that is also part of my life. So in conclusion this morning, I just want us to close our eyes, just take some time, and then it's just to ask God, really, these things in your heart. I just earnestly pray that you would start looking differently at people next to you. I don't want you to inwardly focus this morning. I really feel that God just wants you to take time to focus on other people and how we viewed them, and to say, Lord, maybe I've not been viewing these people as gifts, and it actually frustrates me, and it's actually very difficult for me to interact with these people. But that's the essence of this morning, to really trust God, to come to that place of saying, you know what, these people are gifts in my life, and that's the purpose why God has placed them next to me. Amen. Let's just take some time.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.